Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Anthony Johnson with the NIACOM Platform Relationship Reload Program. Coming at you right now, we thank you for joining us tonight. We are excited about this show. We have a wonderful, powerful guest that's here tonight, and we are going to get started. Me, hey, how you doing? My co-host, and tell your name for the audience to hear tonight.
This is Vonda L. Chappelle.
Hey, Vonda, how you doing tonight?
I'm awesome. How are you, Michael?
I'm excited. I'm telling you, I'm stoked because I've got a lot of questions. I've read through the book, Mrs. Wright, and I'm looking over all the things that Tony's gone through. And, man, we have a lot of different things, especially for your relationship forum that I know we got some people that's going to be calling in from the forum, and we're excited to hear what Tony has to say tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. Ever since I booked him, I've just been like, oh, my gosh, when is the 30th going to get here?
Yeah,
you took my word, actually.
Right now. Well, I'm bringing you live right now, but I just want to say we are so thankful to have you on the program tonight. Let's welcome Tony A. Gaskins, Jr. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Yes.
We didn't give him the proper introduction. You know, we don't do it like that, Michael.
Well, Vonda, why don't you give us that proper introduction of Tony, and we're going to feast on that. Let's do that tonight.
Okay. I can do that. Now, I want the drum roll. We never have the drum roll, but I'm going to say it like this. He's a husband. He's a father.
Yes.
An author, a motivational speaker, a life and relationship coach, a consultant, a screenwriter, a producer, and I believe the word to use, a jack of all trades and master of service. I'm excited.
Right.
I'm really excited to have on our show, on the NIACOM platform, Mr. Tony. Hey,
Gaskins,
Jr.
Hi, Tony. How was that? Thank
y'all. Yes, that was awesome. That was awesome. Thank you.
You deserve it.
We are excited to have you on the show.
We are so excited, Tony. I have been dealing with Kaylee back and forth trying to get you on the show, and I have been, Michael stole my word earlier, stoked. I think that's the best word for it. I am stoked. I am excited. I have, oh, my God, so many questions for you. And I see that callers are calling in and they're logging on and they're equally as excited. I'm posting. Michael has been doing his due diligence marketing and promoting you. Not that the name alone doesn't do it, but we're just super excited to have you on the show. So, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate it. And I hope you consider us brother and sister after this hour. It's going to be great. I'm just really excited.
Awesome. I'm glad to be here. I thank you all for inviting me, and it's my pleasure.
Awesome.
Well, let's get started. Tony, I want to know what, could you tell me a little bit about this? I like the title of your new book, Mrs. Wright, and could you give us a little background on that book, just to get us ready for our questions and get all our audience ready to log in, more people going to call in and everything like that. But just give us a background on this book and how God has brought this to the forefront in your life as far as this season right now, why it's so prevalent that we find Mrs. Wright. I'm one of those. I'm looking for Mrs. Wright. So that's why it's a big question for me.
Awesome. And, you know, that's really why I wrote it, because I'm a relationship coach by day, and I coach so many beautiful, single, educated, accomplished women, and they all say, you know, hey, I have a degree. I'm smart. I have a good job. I take care of myself. Where is he already? Where's my man? Where's my husband? And the thing about it is we can't see ourselves the way others see us. So I wrote Mrs. Right, and it was inspired by my wife, who, you know, took me out of the game, and who I knew immediately that she was my wife. And I wrote it to express to women what it is a real man, a stable, sound-minded man, is looking for in a wife in this day and age. So I just, you know, I gave away the game just real, raw. I went beyond the typical, you know, just all the cliche quotes we hear, just the, you know, the dry game that some of the guys have put out, whether it be to make some money or to come up. I came at it from a sincere place, from the heart, with my wife in mind, because I know the man that I used to be. And if she changed me, she helped me grow, she helped me change, I had to share that insight and that wisdom. And so that's what Mrs. Right is.
All right. One of the things you say, and I love this, and I've gone through this, and that's why I can bear witness with it, is that you said forgiveness is one of our most important and powerful tools for building a good relationship. Can you get into that a little bit? Because I've got some questions behind that. That's why I wanted to pull that right out of the first paragraph of your book.
Yes, it is very powerful because, you know, not often do we take time to heal before we deal. And so forgiveness, you know, it's a gift that we give ourselves, forgiving our mother, forgiving our father, forgiving our ex-boyfriend, ex-husband, ex-girlfriend, ex-wife, and forgiving the person maybe that we're even dealing with. And a lot of times it's that hurt, you know, that we just accept and we take it and we put the guards up. You know, we have the barriers up, and like they say, hurt people hurt people. And so that is why forgiveness is so powerful. And I learned that when I got with my wife, you know, and it was told to me, you have to forgive everything that has happened in your past, and you have to love as if you've never been hurt before. And that opened me up.
Do you one of the believers that unforgiveness ties you to that person in a negative way, that you haven't forgiven? And I found that out with myself. But is that something that you found as well, as far as the things that you've lived through? If you don't let them go, you're really tied to them anyway.
Most definitely. It's usually, you know, it's the offender that kind of moves on. You know, they move on with their life and they're doing whatever. And it's the victim, so to speak, which we choose, you know, to remain a victim. I mean, it happened to us, but we can choose how we respond to it. And if we hold on to it, then we remain a victim all of our life. We hold on to that anger, and we can't move on. And so that is, it's very, very true.
Now, Rhonda, I got one more question. I'm gonna let you do this. I know I got to share this with Tony. I've been through a divorce. And it was a long time ago. It was back in 2001. And I remember I was bound up with so much unforgiveness. I remember driving down the highway, yelling at her, and she wasn't there, and I had my two kids in the back. And they were like, "Dad, who are you talking to?" I remember it was so, it was horrible. And I remember when my daughter said that, I had to catch myself. And at that moment, I remember I thought to myself, man, I've got to stop this. I've got something. This has got to give. This has been a year and a half. I remember at that time, since the divorce, I've got to let this go. For my kids' sake, for myself, and for my future. And so that it really grips you. Like it's a now event to me. If you have unforgiveness, it's still in your present. Even though you can cover it up with a lot of things. Do you believe that to be true?
Yes, 100%, 100%. I mean, if we don't let the past go, then we just continue to live it over and over, and we have no future. We're living in the past, and it's like we're trying to move forward but looking backwards. And so, you know, it's dangerous. It is dangerous. Yeah. So that's why they say, you know, forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. It's very important.
Okay, Vaughn, I'm going to let you go ahead.
That's okay. I'm excited. I can definitely share it, Tony, tonight. One of the things you wrote that I love that jumped out at me, and it was, women are made for love, men must be taught to love. That was so profound to me, because we think we're all created, you know, in the image of God, and he did this for us, he did that for us, and everyone knows men and women are just different. So I love the way you put that, but it was just different for me, because the way you put it, it's like we love different. Of course, we know that, but you make it seem like it's not something that's inbred it like we thought. Can you explain, can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Right. Well, when you look at our roles in the world and even from the beginning, you know, we're just wired differently. I mean, science mm-hmm. just shows the differences in the way our brains are structured. I mean, even when it comes down to hearing a baby cry in the middle of a night, you know, that part of a woman's brain is much larger than a man's, you know, so mm-hmm. you're more of an emotional creature. You have more of a sense for emotions and feelings, to whereas men, we're kind of more cut and dry, to where we can't read minds the way women can. Women sometimes even overread or overanalyze, you know, a situation. And so what happens is a woman needs to be loved and a man needs to be respected. And that goes hand in hand, because a woman is created for love. And a man, you know, we have to learn love, so to speak, meaning that if we meet a woman and she treats us like a king, we could very easily get complacent and treat her like a servant. Whereas mm-hmm. if a man loves a woman and treats her like a queen, she's more likely to reciprocate that love. And when you think about the creation of Eve, I mean, that was her sole purpose. Let me create yeah. this woman for man. So she was mm-hmm. literally created for love. When he was put there first to have dominion over the earth, to name yeah. all the animals, to rule the world. So we had different roles in built in our essence, the essence of who we are. And so I think that's one thing that, you know, where we have a breakdown, to where you come into a relationship and a lot of women expect the man to already know what she mm-hmm. needs, what she wants, and how to love her perfectly without flaw, when really you teach a man how to love you by what you communicate, and then what you allow, what you stop, and what you reinforce. And mm-hmm. that's how I became a grown man, from a grown mm-hmm. boy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good, because that's good to me, because the last part of that, all of it was good, but that last part of that, you said that's how I became a grown man from a boy. And that was what my question was going to be, because some men draw back when you're trying to teach them how to love you. And in my experiences, you try to relay different communicational things to them, just show them how to love you, how to do this, how to do that, and they draw back. So is that someone that's not willing to learn, or he's reluctant to learn, or he's just not in it? What should we as women look for when we're trying to teach a man how to love us and we're getting that, you know, that pullback from them?
Well, a lot of times it comes down to teaching by example. So you have to, mm-hmm. to learn the type of person that you're with. One man may need you to verbalize it and articulate what you're feeling and say, hey, you know, I need you to hold me. I need a hug. I need to hear from you that I look beautiful. You know, I need to hear. He may need you to tell him that. Another man, he may just exude or exhibit what he's feeling on the inside, and then he needs you to teach him by example, meaning he needs you to stop him if what he's doing is wrong. If he goes to yell at you and you yell back at him, or you sit and listen, now you just taught him, this is how you communicate with me, this is how I'll respond, and this is okay. But if you stop him and say, hey, don't yell at me, don't raise your voice at me, don't talk to me right. like that, now you right. just taught him how to communicate. If he comes in 2 hours after the time he was supposed to be there, and you just let him in, or you just, oh, hey, I miss you, or you just kind of, you know, oh, where have you been? Let me check your phone or something like that. Now you just taught him it's okay to be late. I'm going to accept you, and I may give you a little flack. But if you turn him around at the door, or you give him the silent treatment all night, or you express to him, if you tell me you're going to be here at this time, I need you to keep your word, because if you can't keep your word in small things, how can I trust you with my life? And so it's different ways, you know, that a man learns how to love. And it just depends on the being, and you have to be able to use that female intuition to, you know, determine what's the best way to go about getting my point across to this young man. Do I need to tell him straightforward, you know, which some guys are like that, or do I more so need to example it, you know, and set the tone by redirecting negative behaviors and reinforcing positive behaviors.
Hmm. I've got something here, too. You said, and I see this now, and I want to ask a question after I read this. It says, a man does not cheat or beat you or beat because you make him. He does those things because he's weak and something is utterly wrong with him. That stood out to me, big, huge. And you're talking to women all over the world trying to say, hey, it's not something wrong with you. It's something wrong with him. And I saw something in that in myself those years ago when I was getting divorced, too. Some things I said that I shouldn't have said, but because there was something wrong with me because of a previous relationship I was in. I didn't trust a lot. Is there something in that statement that stands out to you? I mean, when you wrote that, I know it was in that moment, but is there something particularly that stands out to you and why that was powerful for you to say in the book?
Right, right. I said it because, you know, I lived it. I lived it. I was that boyfriend when I was in college between ages like 19 to 21. I was that man, that abusive, controlling, toxic lover. And when I look back at it, I said, you know, the things that I said, the things that I did, the cheating and the lies, she did nothing to me. I wasn't cheating on her because I was mad. I wasn't cheating on her because she was unattractive. You know, I did it because I had never been affirmed as a man. I did it because I didn't know what love was as a man. I did it because I didn't love myself. And because I didn't love myself, naturally I couldn't love her, nor could I receive or appreciate the love that she was trying to give me. So I said that to say hurt people, for one. And we don't cheat by chance. We cheat by choice. And we don't cheat because something is wrong with the other person. We cheat because something is wrong with us. And the same goes with verbal abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. It all stems from where we are as people. And I saw the difference, you know, as I was writing the book. I've been living, you know, for some years now as a new man and a new person in a whole place, understanding real love. And the thought of yelling at my wife or cursing her out or putting hands on her or cheating on her, they seem so far and so foreign. I can't even really imagine it, because now I know real love, how to love myself, what love is, and then how to show her that love and how to accept her love for me. And it's a powerful thing.
And you got to admit, we have some pride sometimes. When I read that, I saw back when I was taking a look back at myself and how much pride that I would have that I would not ever admit that something was wrong with me. I'm looking back at, and a lot of men is probably listening to this too, and they can bear with us. Sometimes we learn the wrong things to say. Sometimes we learn the wrong things to do by the examples that we've had. I remember my father, you know, and him yelling at my mother, and me as a child seeing that and hearing that, and that it made me think that was what I was supposed to do. And so sometimes we learn things by the things that we see, even though they're wrong, we think they're right, and we can't see the wrong in it until something's exposed. Just like you said, the woman said, don't yell at me. Oh, we learned that.
Right.
Oh, I'm not supposed to do that. I thought that's my nature. No, it's not. It's not our nature for us to do that. It's something we learned that was wrong.
Right. That's powerful. That's powerful. And you know what? And I thank you for saying that and expressing that, because, you know, that shows that, you know, any man, you know, we all as men can come to that point and realize that, and I think that's what we need more of. We need more men doing what you've just done, what I've just done, and identify those faults and express them and own up to them, you know, and spread the word and say that, hey, this isn't love. Hey, this isn't supposed to be. And just like you said, how you learned that was the same exact thing that happened to me. I saw it in the home. I saw it in the streets. I saw it in the aunts and uncles' relationships. And so you think, you know what, oh, okay, so a relationship is a man calling all the shots, dominating the home, leading by dictatorship, being almost like a tyrant, his way or the highway. And if she gets out of hand, she gets cursed out, or she gets hands put on her, you know. And that's learned behavior. And then next thing you know, you find yourself doing the same thing.
Wow. You know what, Tony? I'm listening to the things you and Michael are both saying, and I've been in a relationship for a minute, and I'm noticing some of the things that you both are talking about. And the one thing I kept saying is, I know you've been through a lot. I mean, I'm a person that's been in church since I was 3 years old. So I don't know street. I don't know, you know, different types of baggage that he has gone through. And so what I keep saying is, understand their issues. I mean, I hate using that word, but that's the word he uses as well. I can use that. But he has so many issues, so much hurt, so much baggage from past relationships. And as I told him, I said, you know, I feel like there's no wiggle room for me, that you instantly, you know, are making me feel like I don't have any room to mess up, or you're going to shoot me down. And I know it's the issues that he's seen, that he's dealt with. And so I keep saying, how about going to get counseling? I'll go with you. So my question to you is, how do I seek counseling for him, or coerce him into it, or ask him to go, whatever words you want to use, without it seem like I'm throwing his issues back in his face? I'm really trying to help him.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. You know, if counseling isn't, if that's the word, and that's usually what we say and what we do, I mean, just package it in a different way. You know, I say, hey, let's get coaching. You know, I'm signing up for coaching with, you know, Tony Gaskins, and, you know, check out his site. You know, he was once a drug dealer, a toxic lover, and found Christ, changed his life. You know, watch these videos on YouTube, you know, and real, recognize real, you know, package it in a different way. And the last thing that almost any man wants to do is have someone else tell them what to do with their life, or how they should be living, or what it is. And, I mean, I hear it all the time. But what happens is that every man is open to doing it and willing to do it and runs to me to sign up and will pay whatever price tag that's on it after they've lost the woman, after she's walked away. So often men ignore the pound of cure and then try to focus on, I mean, they ignore the ounce of prevention and try to focus on the pound of cure. And so you have to articulate that, express that, you know, and say, hey, you know, if something doesn't change, you know, I don't feel free. I don't feel, you know, the way I think love should feel. You know, I feel a little scared. I feel a little walking on eggshells. I feel a little, you know, it almost feels like captivity sometimes instead of freedom, you know. And you have to express that and say, I can't see myself living like this until I die, you know. And something has to give. And when he feels like it's real, when he feels like it's real and that he could lose you, that's when you force a man, so to speak, to step up in your life and be a man, or to step out of your life. And you want to get to that point as soon as possible.
Right. That's great.
You mentioned something, and I'm just pulling this out of something, because I'm seeing some things I went through. I settled for what I could get at the time. And that's how we cheat ourselves, because we don't really understand who we are yet. We don't understand who the God-man is inside of us yet. And I want you to... I see that statement and I see it stick, and I want you to take us back to before June the 16th, 2007, before the monumental thing happened in your life when, you know, Christ came in your life. Take us back to that raw emotion, because I think we have some men that's listening in that needs to hear about what anguish and what everything that you've gone through. And you even said, you know, it took something big happening in your relationship where your wife is about to leave you, and it made you, you know, what were some of the emotions going on? That's gripping you. I believe you guys, the audience members there, that are experiencing that right now. They want to say something.
Right. You know, I didn't identify what a man really was. And the messages that I was getting from the media and from the music, it was skewing the way I saw myself as a man. So here I was as a young man, and I had gotten married, but I was equating my net worth with my self-worth. So my focus was more so on money. My focus was on money and status and symbols of status. And I put money and achieving, you know, so-called financial goals or what have you before myself, before love, and before my family. And I was seeking affirmation in the world. I was seeking, you know, a place in the world. It's almost like you're looking for your purpose, but you don't know what it is and you don't know what it looks like. And so all you're receiving is what the rappers are telling you, what the athletes are showing you, what the movies are showing, what the magazines are showing. And it tells us nothing about real happiness, only pleasure. And so we start seeking, we're seeking happiness, but we're actually we're seeking pleasure, not realizing that that pleasure leads to pain, not to happiness. And so the next thing you know, here I was trying to find myself, and I was probably 22, 23 years old, and the closest thing to me was athletes or selling drugs, and then you work a regular job, and that didn't seem fast enough. It didn't seem like it came with enough, you know, clout, or you got to go to school, and for some people, school just isn't their thing. I was one of those guys. And so I went back, you know, to selling drugs, to that mindset, listening to listen to the rappers. I was literally listening to the rappers. And I reneged on my word to my wife. And my son was in an intensive care unit. He was born 2.5 months early. And it was what I thought was a deathbed. And a lot of times men, instead of running through pain, we run from the pain. So I was trying to self-soothe. And I would stay away from my son. I wouldn't go visit him in intensive care. I thought it was a deathbed. I didn't know that he was going to live. I didn't know anything about that. So I was running from it. And then everything affects everything. That pain led to more pain. It led to me acting out as a man, trying to, you know, declare my manhood, selling drugs, talking down to my wife. I started looking around at other females. I got caught up in my car and the flashy things of life, thinking this is what makes you a man. The more you have, the more of a man you are. The more women want you, the more of a man you are. And then guess what? My wife said, you know what? This isn't what I signed up for. You're not the person that I married, that you told me you would be. I'm leaving. And I was like, wow, how could you leave me when I'm paying all the bills? When we just got married 2 months ago, when our son is in the intensive care unit, how can you walk away when you have nothing, you have no job? And see, a lot of times, men, we think that what we pay for, we own. So sometimes when you're a grown boy, you want to sit the woman down, or you want to, you know, talk down about her dreams, or you want to, you know, strip her of her self-worth and her self-respect. So it almost... she becomes dependent on you. And my wife showed me that I don't care if I have to pee in a pot. I don't care if I have to sleep in a box. Ooh. I will not compromise my self-worth and my self-respect. And then she left, right? And I begged her back. I begged her back. But when we had a soul tie, so she said, you know what? I'll come back, but you got to get life coaching. You got to get coaching. You got to get anger management. You got to change your life. So she came back under the pretense that this is a probationary period. I'm not coming back. If you don't show signs of changing, I'm leaving again. And then guess what? The thing that I had started putting before her and before my son, which was my net worth, equating it with my self-worth and trying to get the things, the symbols of success, which at that time was my car. It was my car. Had some fancy rims on it, TVs in it. You know, I had nice jewelry, 2 cell phones. I was looking like I was successful, but I was empty on the inside. And when I came back to her that night, when she came back home, I pulled up, I got out the car, went in, you know, to make up with her. It was our first time seeing each other. And when we came back out about an hour later that night, getting ready to go to get something to eat, my symbol of status, my car, my baby. A lot of times for men, our car is our baby. We keep it washed, clean. We treat it better than our woman sometimes. It was gone.
That's true.
It was, it was gone. It was gone, and I probably cried as hard for my car as I did when my wife left me.
Wow.
Because at that point, I felt violated. I felt abused and used, bamboozled, run amok.
Yep.
I felt every kind of feeling that you can feel. I'm like, wow. But what I realize is that when we place importance on things that really have no importance, and we put the things that really matter behind those things, we'll lose everything. So here I was, 23 years old, $30,000 in the hole, with my marriage on the brink. And that right there, it humbled me. And all I had, I could hug my wife that night. I could cry in her arms. And it showed me that this is what matters the most, this love. Not the material things, not the money, but love is what matters the most. And it was that night, June 16th, 2007, that I became a man.
Yes,
wow.
I agree. Now, I get what you're saying on that. And I get why the name of the book is Mrs. Right, because your value shifted that night, too. You see, you saw the real value of what you had. Man, that's powerful.
Exactly.
Say la moment. Wow, man.
I have a Christian singles forum / group on Facebook, and I have a number of single people, and I kind of dribble a little married people in there just for the experience that we all need as being singles. And the one topic that constantly haunts the board, or should I say the wall, is about soulmates. Some people don't like the term soulmate. Some people don't believe in the term soulmate. Whatever the reason is, the topic constantly comes up. What are your views? I listen to, you know, the things you say, you know, about your wife, and as you would speak it, I'm like, man, I need to get her on here. I need to interview her and just get her take on things. But I want to know what your take on it is, because to me, a soulmate is someone you go back to that is always going to be there. It's a person you should have been, you know, married to. You're never going to leave. It's just, it goes so much further than just a man, a woman. What are your views on a soulmate? Can you shed a little bit of light on that? Is the term off? Should we use something else? What is your take? Explain that for me.
Right. Well, one thing that I've come to realize is that we don't find love, we create love. And the same way that Jesus loves all of us and never met us is the same way that we can love, but it starts with us. So I don't see or call my wife or consider her my soulmate only because I know I created that love. We created that love. We could have been absolute enemies had we not matured and surrendered to what real love is. And so what happens is some people get, you can have a soulmate, which in essence my wife would be that. But what where people get tripped up is they say, I'm waiting on my soulmate, or I'm looking for my soulmate, and they think that it's one specific person. And when you think about it, how cruel would a God be to put us in a world with 6 billion people and say it's only one person for you?
Right.
You know, so what happens is we have to learn how to create love. And we do that by first having the same foundation. And after you have the same foundation, meaning your core values, your faith, your belief system, the things that will make or break that relationship, then you just mature and surrender to the rules and laws of love. And that person becomes your soulmate. We create that. But another reason why we sometimes move forward in life and we're looking back to someone else is not because they are, not because we lost or we left our soulmate, but because we have a soul tie, which is a tie which usually is an ungodly bond formed through sex with that person that takes a hold of our soul, our being, our spirit, and begins to just wring it like a rag doll. So that when we leave, we can't eat, we can't sleep, we're crying all the time, we're thinking about them all the time. And the reason why is because our souls were joined in those sexual acts outside of the union of God. And that is why the Bible says that when you commit fornication, you're not just sinning against me, you're sinning against your own soul. Because every person we sleep with, we leave a piece of us with them, and we take a piece of them with us. And that is how we create baggage, And I think that is another reason why sometimes people trip up over the term soulmate. But I'm here to say that, and I found it out, you know, through trial and error and the hard way, is that when you mature in love and you become ready for love and you learn love and you are love, then you create that love in that relationship. So if you're out looking for it, love will forever elude you. But when you become love, love will surround you. And
ooh,
that has been main real
thing. That's good. That's really good. I love it. I never heard it explained like that before. It's just amazing how so many people put so much emphasis on finding their soulmate. And it's just amazing to me that they would think out of all the people in the world that there's only one person for them. And no matter how many relationships they get into that doesn't work out, to them, that is the reason why it didn't work, because that's not their soulmate. So you explained
exactly.
It perfectly.
Let me ask a question, Tony. I know all the experiences that you've gone through in the life coaching sessions that you might have had. What sticks out to you that has never been written in a book yet, but it's a conundrum sometimes, maybe it's still happening in your head as far as us men, some things that sometimes we're so hard-headed, man, we're so gung-ho about just running ahead, not even we leap without thinking sometimes and without even looking sometimes. Is there something that stands out in the sessions that you've had or even in your own life that you haven't quite dealt with in a book yet and you want to explore? And maybe we'll get into your Gaskin TV productions in just a little bit, but is there something that sticks out that you want to address at some point about us men?
Well, the one thing that I find, which is so strange about men, is that it's almost like we lack the ability to get ahead of the learning curve. It's almost like we lack the ability to learn the lesson before the test. And
wow.
you would think we would be able to do it because we come up in school to where you get taught all week and then on Friday you take the test. But
right.
For men, it seems like we have to have the test before we learn the lesson.
Wow.
And
yes, sir.
It's almost like we have to hit rock bottom. So sometimes it's guys that come to me, right? And
mm-hmm.
Some of these men are celebrity men, and
mm-hmm.
their marriage is on the brink, or they've already lost their wife, and they're trying to get them back. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times these guys will come to me, and they're either being forced into coaching or coerced into coaching, so they're like, you know what, I got to do it. But
mm-hmm.
they are incapable of learning or growing if they still haven't experienced rock bottom. The only
yep.
time I see real growth is when they are at rock bottom. And
mm.
and usually at rock bottom, it's too little, too late. So
yep. Yep.
if I could say anything, you know, to the men, is don't run until you lose your legs. See, if
mm.
you picture that,
mm.
you know, if we're running from it, you
mm-hmm.
know, and then we lose our legs. Now we can't go anywhere. We just got to sit, you know,
yeah.
and we got to hear it. So my thing is use your mind and stop running from the truth until you
mm-hmm.
lose your legs. Don't wait until that moment. Don't wait to hit rock bottoms. You can save some of your money. You can save some of your love. You can save your relationship and be much
mm-hmm.
better off if you'll be open to the truth now. Is the scripture in the Bible, forever learning but never coming into the knowledge of the truth.
The truth. Yes, sir.
Good.
Yes, sir.
That is so true.
I take my hat off to you on that one. That's
mm-hmm.
you're so right. And I say that because of all the things I've gone through, and I'm sorry, Rhonda, but man, I relate to that so much. I've seen so many things I've lost because I wouldn't accept. I think that it's a pride thing that we have to think that we have to hit rock bottom before we change. We have to see some tears fall. We have to see some damage done. We have to see the woman cry. My thing is, if I make her cry, I can make her change to accommodate me. And that's wrong. And I didn't know it was wrong. I thought, man,
right.
that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to make her cry, make her, you know, think about the things I'm saying. Because I'm the man. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
that's right.
Crazy now that I think about it. But
right.
we
we fool ourselves until, like you said, until we get to that place where we hit the rock bottom where she's about to leave, or there's a divorce decree in front of us, you know, that type of thing. We're faced with having to give up a lot of things. Man.
Right.
Tony, yeah. What's the best relationship advice you've ever received?
Well, you know, it's almost impossible inside of a relationship to take, you know, and put one thing aside, because
mm-hmm.
you kind of have to, you know, take it all. But I think for me, in the beginning, when I accepted that love is not pain. When I accepted that and I received that love is not pain, love does not hurt, it kind of, you know, encompassed everything, because I said to myself from that point forward, will this action cause pain? So if that's yelling, if that's cursing, if that's lying, if that's deceiving, manipulating, cheating, beating, anything that the result or the consequence is pain, then it's not love. And just that simple phrase alone can change the way you love and change your relationships.
Okay, I have a question in our chat room, and his question is, and I hope I really don't know what he means. I hope you do. He says, what is the responsibility of the woman when she makes a bad choice?
It would be the same as for the man, and it would also, you have to define what is the choice. So if it's, you know, sleeping with someone, then that's a bad choice. If it's choosing to go to grad school against your will because she would have to move, then that's all relative. You know, it could be a bad choice in your mind, but it doesn't mean it's a bad choice for her life. And so you have to identify, you know, the definition of a bad choice. Now, if it's undeniably bad, meaning she cheated, you know, she lied, deceived, you know, manipulated, then she would have to accept responsibility. Accept responsibility, and it goes both ways. So where when you make a bad choice, you own up to it. You accept responsibility. You apologize. And then after you apologize, you begin taking new actions. And your actions must show that you've changed. It's almost like having a negative account balance in the bank after you've made that bad choice. And now every new action adds a dollar, but you're negative $100. And so you have to work your way out of that hole. And in the process, while you're going through these changes and while you're showing these changes, practice makes habit. And I think that's the road to recovery, so to speak, to salvaging that relationship. And then if this person has made a bad choice and they've apologized about it and they've taken new action, you, on the other hand, you have to forgive and forget. What that means is forgive them for making that mistake, understanding that you're going to make some too, and then also forget, meaning don't remind them of it anymore. But a lot of times we say, I've forgiven you, but then we remind them of it in every argument, and they have to relive it, and we never let them get past. So if it's a choice that you cannot forget, if the person made a choice so bad that you will forever have to remind them of it, then that means you need to leave that relationship because you cannot heal inside of it.
That's right.
Awesome. Mm. His other question was, how can we get it? Okay, the first question is, how do you lose the respect? How does both genders lose the respect of the other ones? I'm thinking of what he's saying. And how do you get it back?
Right. You know, in a relationship, with just like with everything, knowledge is power. And we have, if we don't have that knowledge, it can cost us. What you don't know will hurt you. So sometimes we don't know going in that the one thing that you can't lose in a relationship is trust. Because if there is no trust, there is no relationship. And sometimes when the trust is lost, you know, when you've lost that trust, you may never be able to get it back. you may never be able to get it back. Now, you can work on it, you can try, and it would be the same way of just working and showing that you're a new person. So before my wife left me, I used to raise my voice at her. I would yell at her. I would talk down to her. I would ignore her feelings. But after she left me, so I had made some bad choices, and I apologized, and she accepted me back. Now, guess what? I couldn't yell anymore. I couldn't raise my voice anymore. I couldn't ignore her feelings. I had to respect her and honor her and cherish her and put her first in my life because this was my wife. She came before anything else, and I hadn't been doing that before. So by doing that and repeatedly doing that for years, I eventually gained her trust back. Now, had I kept making the same mistakes, which so oftentimes we do, I would have never gained her trust back, and she would have grown further and further away from me. So guess what? Apologize and then take new actions. And guess, and if the person, if they still can't heal and they can't forget it, then guess what? You have to realize that you have freedom of choice, but you don't have freedom of consequence. And sometimes consequences are unavoidable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love this.
Go ahead, Michael. The guy is in the chat room. He's got lots of questions, so he's typing right now. So go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry.
No, you say time heals all wounds, and I believe that to be very, very true. And I see at some points in my life, so much so that we have so much pride sometimes that God has to bring things into our lives or allow things into our lives to break that pride. And that was my marriage. Well, God had to break my pride down, and I'm sorrowful now that I've lost that marriage, and it's in an irreparable state now because of, you know, and some things that God can change some things too. But why does it take us so long as men? And I guess you said that before, that, you know, sometimes we think love is supposed to hurt. We think that we're supposed to cause pain. Why does it take so long for us sometimes just to receive what God is saying? I think you see we get to hit rock bottom sometimes. And I'm going back to address this again. It seems like we waste so much time in our lives to get the point of what God is trying to break through on the scenes of our mind of how to have a successful wife, marriage, how to have a successful business, how to have a successful ministry. What is it about us that we just take so much time to get it?
Right, you know, and like you said, it is pride. It is pride in us having that sense of, you know, ownership and us almost seeing ourselves as if we are God, as if we are the head, and we should have to answer to no one. And a lot of times it's hard for a man having that God-like mentality. It's hard to submit or surrender to a God that you can't always hear and that you can't always see, where you've never seen and you've never audibly heard. It's hard to surrender to that, you know, just the male ego and the way we're made up. And then we have a lot of pain. And a lot of times we are that way because we haven't healed. And we haven't healed because it's so hard for us in the beginning to even fall in love or to give trust or to love. So I tell women all the time that a man, it takes a man so much longer to get over a breakup than it does a woman. If he had some feelings for that woman. Because, you know, we have the poker face for so long, and we have them walls up for so long, and it takes us, a woman can fall in love in a month. She can fall in love in a week. A man, when it comes to being in love, it may take a man a year. It may take him 2 years. Some may take 5 or 10 years. And so when he finally gives in, when he finally gets there, if he gets hurt or if the relationship doesn't work, I mean, that healing process could be a very long time.
And it's going to be devastating because we tell ourselves we're the man. Oh, you know, one thing that I remember when you were just talking, man, I built up my walls or fortifications, if you will. Or we have so many layers that we give a reason for, and we don't want to take down our reasons because we built them up for a long time. When I was divorced, that's when those layers begin to come into question.
pit because all that pain was still there. But I had an excuse. I was blaming her for everything. She was the reason we got a divorce. That's what I told myself. Because I had a reason behind every layer that I had built up, even the wrong layers, even some of the right layers were tainted because of the excuses. And I'll say this again, a pastor friend of mine who's gone on to be with the Lord says, an excuse is the skin of reason wrapped around the meat of a lie. But we believe that lie so much, and we give it so much power that it dampens or it overshadows our lives and our thinking processes. And I think that's what gets us caught up.
Right. That's powerful. That's powerful.
I'm loving that we have so many guys commenting, and I tell you, they're typing as I'm trying to read.
Yeah, I see that.
I got all these questions coming at me. I'm going to try to combine two of them. He's asking about casual sex, and then he's asking why is friends with benefits wrong?
Right, right. And I guess those two can go
right
hand in hand. Yeah.
Yep.
And here's the thing that a lot of times we confuse. There are benefits to friendship, but we should never be friends with benefits. And those two things are complete opposites. So the benefits of friendship is that you build on real love and not on lust and not on lies and not on like. You build on real love because you're building on friendship. So you're creating and cultivating this real love. Now, friends with benefits is actually the opposite, because now you're creating a soul tie, an ungodly soul tie outside of marriage, and you're building on lust, not on love. So it's almost like building a mansion on the sand. And that's what we have to realize, that there are benefits of friendship, but we should never be friends with benefits. So if you can see a person that you can be with them, become exclusive. And if they're worth it, and if they seem like they can, you know, be your partner for life, then get on one knee and get her before somebody else does. Because, yes, you can get her in the bed, but if you don't get her heart, if you don't get her to fall in love with you, and if you don't fall in love, somebody will come along and show her some real love, or she'll bump into my YouTube videos, and she'll realize that what you've been giving her has been a jumble of lies and a jumble of game, and she'll find her self-worth. If she didn't get it from a father or in the home, she's going to eventually bump into her self-worth, and she's going to bump into some self-respect, and guess what? At this time, you've created a soul tie. You've built on lust. There's hooks in you, just like there's hooks in her, but she has the strength to walk away. And now you're left, you know, bent over, holding your stomach and crying every night and begging her back. So for men, we have to take initiative and do the right thing. And don't take advantage of woman's ignorance. Don't take advantage of her weakness or, you know, if she's gullible or naive. But as men, lead by example. Speak into her life. Tell her you don't need to lay on your back to get a man to love you. Let a man open your mind. Make a man open your mind instead of trying to open your legs.
Ooh,
you know,
speak
into her life. And that's the new role that men have to accept and start to walk in.
That's good. Now, he's steady typing. First, let me explain to him. We have, I know it's Michael's butt, he does this, but I have to tell him because he has so many questions that we're not going to get them all in. Tell him we're definitely going to have you back because hour's gone so quickly. But at 9 o'clock, it's going to cut off. To those who are logged in, it's going to cut off. If you want to finish the show, you will be able to download it later. But if you want to stay connected, if we tend to go over a little bit, you can call in and hear the rest of the show. But later, you can download the whole show. Just want to let him know that because he has a lot of questions that he wants me to ask you, Tony. So I want to make sure he knows that just in case we don't get to them all. I'm going to try to combine two more of his questions together. He says, when is the right time to start having sex? Should we live together before we get married? And what is the benefit for a man to get married? So I think we can combine all three of those together, really.
Right.
So you need me to repeat those again?
No.
Okay.
So here's the thing, is that if you're building on real love, then you shouldn't be having sex before marriage if you build on real love. And in this day and time, that's, you know, nearly impossible, but there are a lot of people that are doing it. And there's a lot of women coming into the knowledge that if they keep their legs closed and they make a man open their mind, they're getting to the ring a lot faster instead of being slept with and then left a year or two down the line. A lot of women are realizing this, and they're doing it, and they're walking in it, and they're finding their husband. So it all goes, we have to go back to real love. And that is why our divorce rate is the way it is, because we're doing it our way and not God's way. So God says, find your wife. He said, find your wife, you know, then court her for a year, meaning no sex. You're spending time, you're building on friendship with no sex. Then propose to her, marry her, then you move into her. A man cleaves to his wife and forsakes his mother and father. And then you love her the way Christ loved the church, meaning that you love her enough that you're willing to die for her. You put her first. You're giving, you're forgiving, you're understanding, you're compassionate, you're patient, you're temperate, and you love her unconditionally. Now, when you create love that way, some of us, if you've already messed it up, you can start right now and start all over inside of the marriage or inside of the relationship and start to do it the right way. Me and my wife, we did this inside of marriage. We built on the wrong foundation, and we went through hell and high water because of that. But when I came into this new knowledge and I started to change the way I love myself, change the way I love her, we created and cultivated a new love, which is a real and a pure love. So that's what you have to focus on. And I can guarantee you as a man, when you accept this mindset and you start to walk in it, you become attractive to every woman that knows you, every woman that sees you, and you literally will be able to choose your wife. It'll be that easy. And some guys say, well, I don't want to get married if I've never slept with her. That's like buying a car without test driving it first. When you look at it, you know, if you've already had sex before and you know what you're doing, and if you know she has the instrument, the tools for you two to reproduce and become one, she's not a car that needs to be tested. That's a human with a heart, and you can't be playing with hearts. So you can learn together no matter where she's at. I guarantee you she can learn, and she can knock your socks off when she's your wife.
I love it. Hey, Michael, you know I got to chime in right here. You know I got to chime in right here. I love that, because everyone that knows my story, my book is about me being almost, I never thought I'd say the 40-year-old virgin, but that's what I'm getting close to in the next few months. And so I hear that so much. How do I know you're going to like it? I can't marry a woman I've never had sex with, and it's really difficult. And so to hear you say things like that, I'm like, more men need to be tuned in. I'm loving the person that's in the chat room that has so many questions listening in. But more men need to hear you say things like that. Need to hear more men say things like that, because we're in a society where the men, friends with benefits, they want things like that. They want to live together. Everyone wants the milk for free. I hate to use that old term, but it's an oldie, but it's a goodie. But this is what they're used to. They're used to having the friends with benefits, living together outside of matrimony. No one wants to wait anymore. No one wants the peer person. And I know Marvin Sapp posted on his blog about a week ago, and he said, our hoe's winning. And the way he put it was just up front, you know? And that was his question, are hoes winning? And that's what it seems like to us good girls, whether it be the virginity ones that's holding on to it or the celibate ones. That's exactly what it seems like, that the good guys or the guys want someone who's loose, who wants to give it up. And that's really difficult. So I commend you, and I thank you for saying that. I really do.
I got about a couple of minutes left on the show, and I want to be respectful of your time, but I do want to talk about Locked and Loaded and what God is doing, because I saw just some from the GaskinProductions.tv. Man, that's incredible. Could you give us just some excerpts of what's going to be going on and what we can look forward to seeing there on Locked and Loaded, and how God gave this to you?
Well, we actually have quite a few projects, you know, in various stages of production. And, mm-hmm. you know, that was one of the earlier ones. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're building. I'm just letting God use that media platform, you know, to do documentaries and films. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we went from there. That was in the very beginning. And the latest is Where Is He Already?
And, yep. Uh-huh.
And that one is where we went around the country, and I probably 8 different states, several cities, and just interviewed singles about the relationship dynamics. And I think out of all the projects that we've done, that's going to be the most powerful one. And we'll probably, I'll release it early next year on DVD. And it just really creating that dialogue between the sexes and what's mm-hmm. been the breakdown on, you know, our marriages and our relationships. And the Gaskin Productions TV is just really another avenue to affect change in the world. You know, for the people that don't like to read books, you know, maybe they'll sit down and, you know, watch a film.
Mm-hmm. And it sparks conversation, too. Some of the footage I saw there, man, it was real emotions. It was dealing with real situations. And also the way men look at women and the way women, strong women, look back at men and say, you know, check yourself. I saw the thing. I'm really, really looking forward to this series coming out, because I think a lot of us men need to hear ourselves mirrored through that program. I think we'll take a look at ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's get this the rest of this time. Let's talk. Let you talk about some things that's coming up that you wanted to mention on the show. Let me give yourself, whatever type of promotion that you want to put out here on the NICOM platform. Share with us what's going on and where some events that you might be speaking at, or some things that we might run into you at that's going to be going on over the next few months.
Well, I would love for everyone that hears this to go to TonyGaskins.com and just browse around. No matter what stage of your life you're in, I have something for you. I have the Entrepreneur University for the people that's looking to break away from the job and start, you know, working their dream job. We have Tony Gaskins Life Coaching Certification Program for those of you that have that wisdom and you're helping friends and family already and you want to turn it into a career. You can go through this course and become a certified life coach. And I have the Love School, which is 10 weeks, and it's teaching real love. If you grew up in a single-parent home, or even if it was a two-parent home, but it was toxic love, like so many of us seen, this is real love. This is coming from someone who has real love, you know, that's living it on a daily basis and that is experiencing it, and I'm teaching it. So it's different courses, different books, and the Mrs. Right Tour. It'll also be combined with the Mr. Right Tour next year. And so just, you know, keep in touch with me through TonyGaskins.com.
Hey, are you going to be in the Dallas area anytime soon in the coming year or in 2013?
I definitely will be coming to Dallas. I swung through there earlier this year. But I definitely will be coming through in 2013.
Okay. Awesome. But I definitely want to hook up with you, because we've got some things going on. I work for a college district as well, and we have a lot of different entrepreneurial type of things going on. We have an incubation center. We help people get to become the entrepreneur. But it would be great if you're in Dallas, if we can talk to you and work with management to get you to be a part of that entrepreneurial series that we're doing. That would be awesome if we can work everything out.
Awesome. I would love to.
Okay. We'll stay in touch.
Tony, it has been great. Phenomenal. We definitely got to get you back on the show. I mean, we just didn't have enough time for all the wisdom that you exude. I mean, it's just been great.
Didn't we just start 2 minutes ago?
That's what it feels like. But we're definitely going to have you back, and we're getting ready to move an hour earlier, so definitely have to get you back when it's a little bit earlier. I know we try to be respectful of your time, because we know we're on kind of late, and then if you're in another state that, you know, is a little bit behind us and you're an hour later, so we try to be respectful of your time. So we're not going to keep you any longer, but I'm praying that you will accept another invitation from Michael and myself and come back and do this again. It has been phenomenal. And I thank everyone who tuned in that had the questions for Tony. And I hope that all the advice that he gave you, that you're going to take it and run with it, because it was really godly advice. And that's the best kind of advice, is godly. And I thank you, Tony, that you did allow the Holy Spirit to use you. I mean, we get so many people who name the name of godliness, but the advice they give is not what it is. And so I appreciate you keeping it 100, because that's exactly what it was. So thank you again.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you back on here. Definitely.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for having me. We're definitely going to be in touch. I would love to be back. And I really appreciate the invite. Thank you all so much.
Definitely.
It's been a pleasure to have you. Thank you. Thank you, Tony Gaskins Jr. We NICOM audience, I know they're very thankful as well. And we definitely look forward to 2013 and great things that's going to be coming for us from your ministry, from your production company, and from your life. I look to see more books coming out of you. I see there's a whole wealth of things there. And so is there any last words that you want to leave with the audience, anything that you can think of, or you think that we've exhausted all the things that we can share tonight?
I definitely feel like, you know, we've given them a lot of meat to chew on tonight. Chew the meat.
Yep.
Spit out the bones. I don't think we had any bones in it. But
that's right.
It
was all meat.
You all.
What kind of fish is there without bones? I think that's what they had tonight. You don't have to spit out the meat. You can just enjoy that.
Awesome. Thank you all.
Good.
Okay.
You're
thanks
welcome.
Again.
Thank you so much.
And Vonda, you can sign us off.
Well, thank you again to all of our loyal listeners, and we thank you guys for tuning in and actually having questions for our guests. It's always awesome when you join in the talk. Again, thank you to Tony. Michael, thank you for everything that you do for the show. It's awesome. Thank you, guys. Next week we have, on our Relationship Reload, we have Nathan Salter. He's an author. The name of his book is 7 Things Single People Must Accomplish Before They Get Married. And I know Tony has a book similar to that as well. Tony has a lot of books. I mean, I think I have a little bit of time. Let me kind of name some of them. Of course, he has his newest book out, Mrs. Right. He also has a book, What Daddy Should Have Told His Little Girl. He has Reclaiming Your Youth One Day at a Time, 8 Mistakes Women Make in Relationships, A Woman's Guide to Getting It Right, What Daddy Never Told His Little Girl. He also has A Road to Destiny, Notebook of Love. He also has a single out on communication. So there is a lot. There's a wealth of knowledge from our guests tonight. I'm so excited. I hate that we didn't get to all of that. That's why we got to have them back. I know you guys are going to blow up our pages and emails saying how much you enjoyed them. I know it's coming. So, again, thank you, Tony. I keep going back to that, but I'm so excited. I'm so grateful that you were here, and I hate we didn't get to market you as much and more than we did. Again, you can reach him on his Facebook page. You can also reach him you can find his books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of that. So definitely get his books because it's going to help you. Thank you guys for, again, being loyal to us, listening in, tuning in, doing whatever you do. We thank you for just being here for us. Stop by the page, say hello to us, and let us know how Tony has touched your life tonight and what he's done to help you in your relationships. Thank you, and we're signing off.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to NICOM. We'll see you again next week. And also, don't forget about the Facebook page, facebook.com/NICOM platform. That's facebook.com/NICOM platform. Like us. We need you to like us on that page. We need to get up to 5,000. So whatever we need to do, guys, you're our friends. We love you. You listen to us every week. You've shown us in your download of our programs. Now go to facebook.com/NICOM platform. Like us, baby. Like us because we like you.
Hey, June June.
Hey, June June. Let me bring him live because you know he wants to be live for just a second. Hey, June June. You're not going to say nothing now?
No.
Wow. There you are.
Why?
Wasn't that wonderful? I bet you learned a million things in that.
Oh, man, y'all had my mind going back and forth. There were times I was wanting to scream at the phone, and there were times I was like, okay.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal tonight. And we want also, since June's in here, you reminded me also, the NICOM Express. Now, we got the NICOM platform. We got the NICOM Express. It's happening from Monday through Thursday, right, June?
That's right. And if you like, I'm sorry, what was your name again, sir?
My name is Michael J. No, Tony's gone.
Tony's gone. He had to go.
Okay. I was about to say, if you like his point of view, you probably ain't going to like our show.
Yours. You and Ray are something else. But we want our audience to feel free to tune in. We get a little bit zany and crazy. We're a little bit controversial. We got a lot of music surrounding us. We got a lot of people that love the show, the music show, and we do a little talk, commentary. Between in there. So join us during the week, Monday through Friday, from 8 to 10 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. And we might want to look at changing that time a little bit for our East Coast friends, fans, and everything like that as well.
Okay.
So tune in, everybody. Vonda L. Chappelle, we love you. We appreciate all the things that you're doing to enhance the platform and taking us out there a little bit further. She's doing a lot of good things.
Oh, my gosh. I have to say one more thing before we go. You guys have to tune in to Friday Night's Relationship Reload. The rest of this year is going to be amazing. I have Terry Bams coming on. He is the author of The Mind of a Womanizer. I cannot wait for that show. So we're going to do our best to get the word out there so you guys can hear it. We can remind you. That's Michael's job, and he does an awesome job at it. So you guys stay tuned. You don't want to miss that show. You don't want to miss Nathan Salter next Friday night when he's going to tell you, if you're single, what you need to accomplish before you get married. So you guys stay tuned. I mean, Nikon is doing some stuff, y'all.
Hey, and I'm talking to my groups out there on Facebook. I know you get inundated with all the information that we do market out there, and I appreciate everybody that's really giving me the encouragement. I'm sorry to those that's clicking me off saying you don't want me to flood in your page. This is what we do to share with you all the content that we have during the week for Relationship Reload. So just bear with us, bear with the marketing. We're trying to get the word out so you can know who's going to be on the platform, because you might miss it. It might be something that's good for you to hear from Tony Gaskin and Mr. Bam that's coming up next week, or whomever we're going to have throughout the rest of this year into the next. So bear with me. My group's Grace Keepers. Thank you, team. Team Christ, Joel Osteen. Thank you, Black Network, I forgot what it's called, Black Enterprise Network. Thank you for bearing through those messages. Keep me on there. Don't click me off. I'm just trying to make you aware so we're trying to form a national, international type of a show here. So we've got a lot of people overseas that are writing in, saying that they're becoming a part as well. We love you. We appreciate you very much. We do not take you for granted. And if I get a little bit too much, just send me a word here and there and say, okay, that's about four in a day. That's about enough. Okay, you get the picture. But I love you. Thank you for telling me.
Is y'all premiering anybody tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow. We got a rerun show tomorrow.
Right,
and I want to let the audience know it'll be one of our good shows. I'm going to choose one of the best. And if you got one that you want to hear again, you can tell me. Get on Facebook and say, we want to hear this. I don't mind taking some, you know, some lead from our Nikon audience. I'm going to go and spend some time with family. One of my nephews want to get beat up, so, you know, it's a love thing, you know, family. My other nephew in California, I can't hit him, so I got to hit the one that's here.
But it's the one in California that needs it. I'm just saying.
I know.
Why don't you come and give it to me?
Well, you want me to email it to you? I can email you a beat.
It's great. I love it. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
She just mad I ate her fingernail polish.
You know what? I'm not going there with you.
I'm guessing I'm going to send you Vonda, so look forward to after this the show. We're sending you some more stuff to think about and some more stuff. I am doing the show, and I'm going to send this stuff to you, so look forward. All right, we're signing off. We love you, and God bless you. Good night.
Good night.
We love you.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.